welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me today for the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. Psalm 61 and 11 says, "Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Think about that, beloved. In fact, somewhere recently I heard, you need to do, just make a list of things you really enjoy doing. And then when you need to take a break, go to that list. And what I put at the top of the list, truly, which is to experience the presence and the anointing of the Lord. There's nothing that can compare with it. And in His presence, beloved, we can exchange the sackcloth of mourning for the garment of praise. And we can feel that His love and the freedom that can exist in His presence like in no other place. You know, so often when we look at our growth, we look at our lives, where we are, sometimes our maturity level seems to depend only on the mountaintop experiences that we might be in. But when you think of it, beloved, our growth, our victories really come through the valley experiences, those low places that you feel so vulnerable, where you feel hurt and alone. But beloved, even this day, God's presence is with you. And I have never felt so strongly that we all, as God's people, because of the lateness of the hour, just because it's the season of the Lord. I've always loved that scripture as a young Christian. "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." And I believe we have come into that. There is a set time for the building of Zion, for the blessing of Zion. As I shared several months ago with my UCM family and partners through the Ministry of Correspondence, that this is a year of breakthrough. I believe that we are finally going to see some of those very personal things in our lives, a stronghold broken, new doors open, changes come for the better, good things. And that's why, I at practically on every broadcast offer a partnership of prayer to you. It's a sacred trust that has been given to me by the Lord. And it's just a very important part of this ministry. And not only that, one of the outreaches, the work of this ministry, is to be God's voice to the nations. We're heard around the world on the World Wide Web through our unveilchrist.org website. We want to carry forth His presence, establish His work. There are so many people that are hungry and ready for this new outpouring. And thank God we can be a part of this end time outpouring. No matter what the world looks like, God is moving. Multitudes are receiving Him as Savior. Miracles are being experienced every day. So, beloved, we have reason to rejoice. We have a reason for the hope that's within us. Praise God. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, Lord, you see every individual. Lord, you see those who feel that they've really been stuck in the valley of weeping, the valley of Baca. But Lord, you said, "Blessed is the man that goeth through the valley." So I pray by the Holy Spirit, Lord, you'll encourage them to arise and continue on. Arise, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon them. Lord, just touch them in their deepest places need and let them know you are more than sufficient. You are Jehovah Jireh, not just of the material necessities of life, but of everything that pertains to our spiritual walk in godliness and the path of righteousness, the path of life that we're walking on. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask this. Praise God. For the Spirit of the Lord would speak to you, my beloved. I would speak words of new life to you. There shall be a new joy and a new flowing of my Spirit to you. Lo, I've seen the testings and the trials and the pressures, but I say, look up. Look up and start rejoicing, for I am bringing victory to my people. All who stand faithful, all who will believe and praise me, shall feel my undergirding power, and those pressures will begin to dissipate. There will be shouts of joy in the camp of the Lord. My people shall be comforted, and you will see your faith grow, and by faith you will defeat the enemy. As the eaglet is perched to fly, coming out of its nest, so are many of my people. They shall soar as eagles and shall enjoy new strength and new power. In days past, many have been like birds with broken wings, but now I'm healing the broken wings, and I'm sending forth the wind of my presence, and the time to soar high in the clouds of victory has come. Yea, beloved, I will do it. I will make a way, even where there seems to be no way. I will be the strong tower that you can run into and be safe. I will be a high wall of deliverance around you. Glorify me in the things you do. It will not be a futile gesture, but it shall be as a memorial of faith and obedience to me, says the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, we have been sharing. Thank you, God, for the moving of your Spirit. Now, Lord, to move into the very word of the Lord, we have been looking at God's pattern for revival. Is there a pattern? Well, there definitely seems to be one that was established in the reign of Hezekiah. We saw how miserable they were in their place of apostasy and idolatry. But when Isaiah first became king, the first thing he did was to see worship restored, to have the temple cleansed, which of course speaks to repentance. And not only was there just the common dirt, the dust and cobwebs that occurred from misuse, but also there was an even greater spiritual pollution of the idols and the altars that had been erected. In Zechariah, the third chapter, verses 3 and 4, Joshua had a vision, and in that vision, he records, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, praise God. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Beloved, this is what's happening in this hour. Those who have a hearts to seek after the Lord, there is a cleansing, there's a taking off of those filthy garments of unrighteousness. And we're being clothed with priestly garments. Yea, the garments of righteousness, the garments of praise. Isaiah 4 and 4 says, the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem, but from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Praise God, it's through the fire of the Holy Spirit that the iniquities are burned up in our lives, that we can stand before the Lord, holy and undefiled. So what do we see? There was a repentance, first of all. And there was then a rededication of the temple. There were sin and burnt offerings. And that new consecration would speak to us in our day of a focus on Calvary, what Jesus has done for us. Let's now look at 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And I'm going to be reading a little bit, starting in verse 20. And it says, and they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests and sons of Aaron to offer them on the altar of the Lord. And that's, of course, exactly what they did. There was a solemn assembly that was called to meet the king in the temple that very next day. And he rose up early it says, which would be more than he did on other days, to indicate how very much his heart was in the work. Hezekiah begins by making a sin offering for the kingdom, the sanctuary, and Judah. What does that mean? The kingdom is the civil government, the princes. The sanctuary is the religious government, if you will, of the priests. And he offered a sin offering for Judah, which was the people. Beloved, atonement must be made for sin. It's not enough to just repent and forsake sin, but very clearly, it wasn't enough for them to do that. They had to bring a sin offering. Now, thank God today, that sin offering has been offered. That sin offering is Jesus. There's no peace with God but through his precious blood. In Leviticus, the 16th chapter, verse 15, the law there prescribed that one goat would be offered for a sin offering on the Day of Atonement and on such extraordinary occasions such as this. But what does it say that they did? They offered not one, but they offered seven. And of course, that's the number of perfection, but also it indicates what they felt was the greatness of their sin. Jesus, our great sin offering, is but one, yet it is one, he is one, that perfects forever those that are sanctified. Hezekiah and the assembly laid hands on the goat, and by that they were transferring their guilt, the guilt of their sin, to the sacrifice. We have been able to transfer that guilt, or the Father allowed that to occur upon Jesus. Romans 5 and 11 says, "We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." So by faith, we lay hands on Jesus and receive reconciliation. Praise God. That's something to be so thrilled about. Throughout all the ages of eternity, we'll be thanking God that he allowed Jesus to make it possible for us that we could not only share eternity with him, but that we can enjoy his fellowship and his presence as we go about our day-to-day lives, even right now. Praise God. Well, we're still going on, and we're looking at the pattern that God has placed in his word for revival. And I, as this broadcast draws to a close, I pray that you'll be able to join me tomorrow. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. And if the Lord's moving on you, I trust that you will obey him, share those prayer needs, and I know you'll be blessed by what God gives me to send back to share with you. Praise God. Beloved, thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I'm grateful for your partnership in prayer and finances. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. I make God's best for everyone.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website unveiledchrist.org and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.